So SWOT analysis has another variant called SOAR analysis, S-O-A-R. You will understand strength, S is a strength, O is an opportunity, A stands for aspirations and R stands for results. So now what is the difference? Okay, so we'll try to understand, like a SWOT, a SOAR analysis also a 2x2 matrix. However, it is a different constituents. The key difference between SWOT and SOAR analysis is that while SWOT analysis takes into account both internal and external factor, in contrast, the SOAR analysis helps to determine the desired result, and from that perspective, it puts in various factors in place. So it is result driven. Okay, another next major difference of the SOAR analysis, SOAR analysis doesn't get into threats or weaknesses part. Instead, it tells you to build from where you are. So it tells you to focus on the result and the outcome that you are expecting, and to achieve that, how do you align your strength, opportunity and analysis. So that's what we will understand, aspirations. So S-O-A-R, strength, opportunity, aspirations and result. So here you can see that strength, of course, like I explained earlier, what do you excel at, what you are great in accomplishing it, okay, what you are most proud of. Okay, so these are those aspects, maybe the network strength, etc. Opportunities, what are the opportunities in the environment that you can see, so that you can tap it out here. Of course, with the strength and opportunity, you can have that SO kind of a strategies. But what differentiates SOAR vis-a-vis SWOT analysis is the aspiration. It tells you that you are here and you decide where you want to be. So it is compelling you to look forward, not get into the trends and opportunities, etc. What should your future business look like? So you try to visualize, how will it be? How can you make a difference? How can you make the most out of current situation that you are in? So that builds the aspiration part. Once your aspirations are clear, what it says, your result will be achievable. You will find a path. So then once your aspirations are clear, set your results goal. Yani, what measures will you take to reach what result? So you have the result in place, the growth of, or I want to become 1 million company. Today you may be, at X, you say that I want to achieve double the growth in next 3 years. I took, say, 7 years to double my growth. Now in 3 years, I want to achieve. So that will set the aspiration and result in between pathways will automatically emerge. So that's the difference of SOAR over SWOT. We will now learn additional tool called VRIO framework. This is a support tool to SWOT. In the SWOT, you have listed various things. That's is your strengths, weakness, opportunity, threat. But is there a way to gauge them and then then translate it into your actionable point? So how do you do that? That's where this additional framework acronym stands for. V stands for value, R stands for rarity, I stands for imitability, and O stands for organization. So we will try to understand this. Value, what is that value means? Value means, does it provide customer desired value? And that value, when you give, do you get a competitive advantage? So each factor, each point, constituents of SWOT analysis will be measured against this one variable. Second variable is rareness, rarity. Do no other competitors possesses means, what you are going to do, is it there with the competitor, or will they be able to do it ever, or will they be able to compete with you? That part of thing. Imitability, is it costly for others to imitate? Means what you are now going to introduce, can others be able to introduce without much of a investment? You may have taken few years to make it. So what is the level of imitability in your new proposition? And third is the organization. Is the firm in a right manner able to exploit the available constituents based parameter. So we will try to see this right now, just understand the basics. So now, if I have to give you the way you go about from SWOT, how do you use VRIO framework? You start with listing what all resources does this organization have. Now, resources probably will emerge from the strength part also. Here you classify them in four different ways. So for a better clarity, financial, human, material and non-material resources. Non-material resources like patent, brand name. Have you protected your brand with the trademark registration or not? Your intellectual property rights. So these are those non-material resources. Now, once you do that, then you enter into the next step of applying the VRIO framework. So now, after you have defined your resources, now each resources will be taken through this VRIO framework. Okay, so you look at down in the table below. Say for example, a resource that you have, is it valuable? Now suppose you say no, what it means? Okay, so you are competitive disadvantage on that resource, which is, if it is not found to be valuable, say your manpower are not skilled enough, okay, so then you are at a competitive disadvantage. Suppose you find your resource, a manpower, is skilled enough, but developing a skill is a rarity. No, even others can give the skills to their manpower. So you are at a competitive equality or a parity. So that's the meaning of it. Suppose you have something, you have a patent. Okay, so it's a valuable. Is it rare? Yes, it is very complicated, but it is not difficult to imitate. So in that case, temporary competitive advantage you will have till the time others who is able to develop something similar to you, bypassing your patent clauses, etc., you will lose your because consumer do not see from that perspective. They need a solution. You also provide the same solution, competitor giving the same solution. So you, if you have a resource which is valuable, rare but imitable, then you have a temporary competitive advantage. Fourth, you have a resource which is valuable, which is rare, difficult to imitate. So you have a patent for a rare things, it is very difficult to imitate, but today your organization is not geared to tap it. So unused competitive advantage means you will not pursue that opportunity, means you have allowed your that advantage to lie low. So you are not using this to your advantage. Okay, suppose you have something valuable, something which is rare, something which is imitable, and your organization is organized around. Okay, yes, iPhone has a valuable manpower resource who constantly innovate. What they innovate are rare. It is difficult to imitate. Yes, what they do, and organization is geared around. The whole philosophy is innovate. Okay, and then organization is entirely geared towards constantly innovating and coming out with the next age product so that they stand out distinctly. So here you have distinct competitive advantage which you can leverage year on year, decade after decade. So that's how each framework, you have to remember, each resource has to be taken this through filter of VRIO, and finally you plot the outcome of it. Now say resource for manpower, resource patent, resource financial. When you do that and you plot everything, some picture will emerge for you. So that will give you a clarity about going ahead, holding or leaving it. That is an opportunity. So here is a practical example of a VRIO framework of a Starbucks. You all know. Resources. So now on the left hand side there are resources and they are evaluated on VRIO framework. So the outcome is plotted against that in terms of competitive advantage. So now strong global presence. So yes, is it valuable? Yes. Is it rare? Very difficult for others. Imitable? Yes, they can be imitated, but organization is geared well to meet this. So what is a competitive, this thing, realize sustainable competitive advantage, except imitability part, they have a strong competitive advantage over other factors. Specialty coffee, and so what they make is supposedly a specialty coffee. Yes, is it valuable? Yes. Is it rare? No, it is not rare. Somebody else can also do it tomorrow. Imitable, what they do is not imitable. Somebody can come out. McDonald's is trying to also have their, you know, entire coffee range being accepted by consumer. So they may not be producing same, similar they may be. So that's what. And is organization organized around developing always a specialty coffee? So here it is, they have realized the competitive parity. So they are in a state of competitive parity. Upscale and cozy atmosphere. So yes, that's a valuable, that's rare. But is it imitable? No, it is not imitable. Because that design and those things, I'm sure they're protected, you know, so by this thing. So nobody can kind of copy this thing. They will need to evolve their own design. And is organizations geared around? So realize temporary competitive advantage. Till tomorrow somebody comes out with better design. Though imitability may not be there, but they come out with a better design, then you will lose your competitive advantage at that time. So you are in a state of temporary competitive advantage. Okay, so with this, organizations can take a decision where they have to focus, what they have to focus. So what is that, if you look at from SO, you know, this framework, SOAR analysis, so they know their strength, they know their opportunity, so then they build their aspirations and then they plan their journey to achieve desired resources. So that's the way SWOT to VRIO, SOAR to VRIO, they, whichever way they are interlinked, one can do. Here I was telling you, VRIO has to be applied to each components of a resource, so money resource, bonds, debentures, whatever, you have to see that human resource, skill base, knowledge of people, etc., material, raw material, facilities, each has to go through that VRIO framework and your competitive advantage has to be plotted by you. One more additional tool which helps you to leverage your SWOT analysis is the Porter's Five Forces model, Porter's Five Forces of Competitive Position Analysis. That's a framework, very powerful. Michael Porter was from the Harvard Business School. He is known as a strategic marketing guy. Okay. And he has developed this model, which has really been even applicable today. What this model is all about, if you were to know, this model is all about giving you a perspective, the attractiveness of the business and competitive intensity in that business, attractiveness of that industry and competitiveness in the industry. Not only that, it helps you to identify, it has listed five areas or five forces, then analysis of that will give you an idea, power lies where. Power is with consumer, power is with network, power is with you. Where does the power of this business lie? That analysis will help you to see that what you need to do to utilize the power or utilize power for you, with you or power against you. So that's how you are able to leverage this understanding of a competitive forces and then develop your strategies and all tactics to align in such a way that you are able to still progress and move upward in your business development journey. So which are those five forces? Centrally, what has been listed out here, I told you this model stands for giving you an idea as to the competitive intensity. Okay. And so that was rivalry among existing competitors. So this model centers on understanding rivalry among existing competitors. Now, what are those another four constituents? So if you see the on the top, threat of new entrants. So this industry, how threatful it is, how difficult it is for the new entrant to come, or they can easily enter. So where does your industry get classified? If you look in the bottom, threat of substitute products or the service, whether in the product in which you are, the industry in which you are, can someone be coming with the substitutes? How easy it is? So that's what another analysis. If you go on the right and left, okay, so on the right hand side, bargaining power of the buyer. So whether consumer has a command in the market, do they have an upper hand in the market? Suppose it is a scenario where many competitors are there, so that consumer buying power is in the hands of the buyer. They can decide today to leave your brand and go to the another one. But if that is not the case, only select manufacturers are there, then consumers are helpless. They have to choose between available devils, so to say. Bargaining power of suppliers. So this suppliers, when you say, it's like, whether you are multi-sourcing, whether you are dependent on, say, like the steel manufacturer, the bearing manufacturer, once upon a time, we're very dependent on one or two steel manufacturing company. Now, with the marketing become, the world becoming a global village, they can source the tubes from any part of the world. So, you see now, so that is the power of the supplier. Even this includes, so to say, network. Many times, network strength or strength that network acquires over you. Network, when realizes that your business cannot run without them, they start to counter argue with you. They start demanding from you more margin, more promotional budgets, etc. So what is that force working for or against you? This, when analyzed, gives you your competitive positions. It tells you the intensity of the competition, that is the central part, whether your industry is very subjective, where anybody can enter. Your industry is something that can tomorrow be replaced by a substitute product. Whether the bargaining power is in the hand of the customer or bargaining power is in the hand of the supplier or the network, and that will give you a complete perspective that will help you to strategize, develop your tactics. So how do you go about when I say supplier power? So here it starts with the supplier power, so I will go in that manner. An assessment of how easy it is for the supplier to drive up prices. So that's what, and supplier is, one is a dependency. Second is, if the supplier knows that they are into monopoly, duopoly market conditions, then it is easy for them. But if supplier themselves, the industry in which your suppliers are, is a competitive, then they know that they cannot increase the price at their whims and, you know, fancy. Yeah. So that's what you have to understand. So the supplier will be in a check. You will be able to thereby defend your costs, and therefore you will be able to get the desired margin. You cannot, if you are on one hand facing a very competitive market where increasing the price is very difficult, and on the other end you have a supplier who is into monopoly, duopoly condition, he keeps increasing the cost. Every time you cannot pass the cost on to the customer, so your margin will shrink. Buyer power, an assessment of how easy for the buyer to select you or drive your price down. So that's what is a buyer power, how they are in a commanding position to demand better deal. Okay, so this drives the number of buyers also in the market, importance of each individual, your dependency on the buyer, etc. So various such factors will come out. Competitive rivalry, which are that center point, the main driver is the number and capabilities of the competitor. Market demand is of, say, 1 lakh unit. If there are 10, suppose, manufacturers present, collective capacity is to produce 3 lakh units, say 30 lakh units. I said 10 lakh is a market. If there are 10 manufacturers, and each have installed capacity, which is collectively leads to, say, 40 lakhs. So that means against the market demand of 10 lakhs, there is a capacity which is an excess capacity. So rivalry is going to be very intense. But this 10 lakh unit, suppose there are only two manufacturers. And if these two manufacturers have a capacity of 3 lakh units, so the capacity in India installed is 6 lakhs versus the demand is 10 lakhs. That means the market is supplier dominant. Consumer will depend on the supplier to produce more and give them more. So that kind of an analysis. Threat of substitution, how easy it is to get the same result by your consumers without using your product, by using some other product. And threat of new entry, how easy it is or how complicated it is for the manufacturer. Now this threat of entry depends on many factors: your brand, your network strength, your product quality. Okay. How the adoption is, like whether consumer will quickly change to the new brand, etc. So those longevity, brand loyalty collectively makes competitor entry difficult. Say, for example, I take a men's shaving product, Gillette. They are like kind of literally in a monopoly, duopoly market. Very few have entered. One is the technology age vis-a-vis what bandwidth that they have created for themselves in terms of retail and network, etc. Very difficult for any new entrant to come and break in there. So this is a Porter's five forces of competitive positioning analysis. Here it is represented in a way to what actions one can take or do's and don'ts, or what actions to avoid or not to take. I will take the left hand side first. Use this model where there are at least three competitors. So it tells you that you do this model only when there is a competition is of a significant nature. So they have defined three and more. Consider the impact that the government has or may have on the industry. What is not studied here is the government as a third party, but government policies and all drive many things. So you see that whether this model will be usable or not usable from that perspective, if the government is a dominant factor or not dominant factor. Consider the industry life cycle. So what is the life cycle? Early stage will be more turbulent. So even that perspective, in that case, it is worthwhile doing a Porter analysis. You can take a decision whether to enter or not to enter the market. And at a various phases of your journey, you can do this so that you can build a sustainable future for you, because you get a complete perspective. Consider the dynamic and changing characteristics of the industry. When you keep applying this model regularly, you will see what is shifting for or against you. What they tell you to avoid or don't, avoid using this model for an individual firm. This model is not designed to tell you as an individual. This model is designed to give you a complete perspective. So it's a competitive model. It is not an individual centric model.